from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. The popularity of electronic cigarettes has skyrocketed in recent years. The battery-powered devices that heat up liquid nicotine and flavorings are often touted as a healthier alternative to regular cigarettes and a means to help smokers quit tobacco. But a new UCSF analysis of a large number of studies published in The Lancet finds that adults who vape are 28% less likely to quit smoking. And in this hour forum, we dig into the research. Joining me are Stanton Glantz. He's professor of medicine and in the Division of Cardiology in the Department of Medicine at UCSF School of Medicine. Good morning, Stanton Glantz.
Good morning.
We're also joined by Gregory Conley. He's president of the American Vaping Association, an advocacy group for e-cigarettes that also receives funding from the e-cigarette industry. Good morning, Gregory Conley.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Stanton Glantz, I want to start with you as someone who was involved in this study. You say adult smokers are 28% less likely to quit smoking. Less likely than whom?
Than adult smokers who are not using e-cigarettes. What we did is we went out and we looked at the entire world literature on the relationship between e-cigarette use and quitting smoking. And we found 38 studies that had looked at it, and 20 of them had direct comparisons between e-cigarette users and non-e-cigarette users. And we combined those in what's called a meta-analysis, which is just a fancy way to average the results. And what we found overall, that the odds of quitting for smokers who used these cigarettes were 28% lower than smokers who didn't use e-cigarettes. And so while e-cigarettes are broadly promoted as a way to quit smoking, and many, many people who use them are using them to quit smoking, they're actually having the opposite effect. They're keeping people smoking cigarettes.
And so then based on this research, what do you recommend happens next?
Well, the first thing is that smokers should stop trying to use e-cigarettes to quit smoking. I mean, they're actually hurting their quitting. I think that the Federal Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission need to clamp down on these deceptive advertising claims which are being made for e-cigarettes. And I think we need to move forward in including e-cigarettes in clean indoor air laws, as we have here in San Francisco. But just a few days ago, the Alameda County Board of Supervisors refused to include e-cigarettes in their clean indoor air law. And one of the big arguments was that, well, these things are helping people quit smoking, and so we don't want to discourage their use. There's also a bill in the state legislature from Senator Leno, SB 140, which would include e-cigarettes in the state clean indoor air law, which the e-cigarette and tobacco interests have been bottling up in the assembly. I think if they could get it out of the committee it's in, which is a committee filled with people who take massive campaign contributions from the tobacco industry, it would pass. But so I think the most important implication, though, is that smokers who want to quit should use things we know work, not e-cigarettes.
Gregory Conley, I want to let you jump in here. I know that you actually dispute this study's findings. Why?
Well, thank you. I am certainly not the only one disputing the study findings. I don't have decades of experience in the medical field and tobacco control field like Professor Glantz does. I admire a lot of the work that he's done. I'm just a lawyer who got into this because he quit smoking with e-cigarettes and found them extremely helpful. But what you have here is people who are very used to white hats versus black hats, the years of battling just the tobacco industry. And that's not the case here. The case here is you have public health advocates lining up to dispute the findings of Professor Glantz's meta-analysis. His findings directly contradict the conclusion of a very significant Cochrane review. The Cochrane reviews are the evidence synthesis that we use all across the world, the recognized authority on the conduct of how to conduct a meta-analysis. And you have Professor Peter Hayek of Queen University of London. You have people from Cancer Research UK coming out of the woodwork to say that these studies were not done properly, they weren't done following the proper methods, or rather the meta-analysis was not done using the proper methods. And so the real-world evidence truly does show that these products are helping people quit. And so we urge people to take a deeper look at this issue, especially the smokers that are out there listening to this.
Well, this is a half-hour segment, so let me open the phone lines early. We're talking about whether e-cigarettes help people quit smoking in light of a UCSF study that finds adults who vape are actually less likely to quit smoking. What's your reaction to the study's findings? If you'd like to call, you can. That number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your comments or questions to forum@kqed.org. Post them on Facebook, Twitter, or on our website, kqed.org/forum. Stanton Glantz, some of the criticisms that I read from some of these UK doctors was that the literature that you studied had variable populations, that there was really a wide range of study designs, and that it was really kind of limiting in terms of your ability to make a substantive conclusion?
Well, that's a situation that occurs in almost every meta-analysis done about everything. I mean, Mr. Conley mentioned the earlier Cochrane review, and we actually discussed the earlier Cochrane review in our paper. It was based on three or four studies because it was done a couple of years ago. Our paper is based on 38 studies, and the methodologies that we used in our paper were precisely the same as the Cochrane review. They're just based on a lot more information. We actually anticipated the criticisms that would come out of the people in England, because England is sort of a hotbed of e-cigarette enthusiasm in the scientific community. And we actually did what's called a sensitivity analysis. We looked at, did it matter whether it was a clinical trial or an observational study? Did it matter whether they were comparing e-cigarettes to quitting cold turkey or with quitting with nicotine replacement? We looked at, did it matter whether it was a what's called a longitudinal study, where either you follow people forward in time, or a cross-sectional study, which is like a snapshot? And we looked at nine different things, everything we could think of that people had criticized these studies for, and none of them mattered. The finding that e-cigarette use depresses quitting on average is very, very robust. Now, does that mean that nobody has ever quit smoking using an e-cigarette? No. I mean, there are clearly people out there who have successfully quit smoking using e-cigarettes.
Including Mr. Conley.
Well, I suppose so. But the point is that on average, they're depressing quitting. They're depressing quitting quite substantially. And there's a couple of studies.
But did you find out why they were depressing quitting, or was it more just a look at whether
We looked at was whether that they were depressing quitting. Now, in the paper, we talk about a couple of possible reasons, but that's kind of a different question. I think one of the possibilities is that e-cigarettes are widely marketed as a way to use inhaled nicotine in places you can't smoke cigarettes. And we know that smoke-free environments, in addition to protecting people from secondhand smoke, also help people quit. And so by reintroducing inhaled nicotine into workplaces, into homes, into other places where you previously couldn't use inhaled nicotine, that's probably helping to keep the smoking up. But also, if you just look at nicotine replacement therapy, the patch or the gum, there's quite good evidence that just going out and buying that stuff over the counter also depresses quitting. Nicotine replacement done as part of an organized smoking cessation program where you're getting counseling and monitoring helps people quit smoking. That's absolutely clear. But there are now several studies, including one by one of the people who criticized our paper, showing that people who just go out and buy it on their own, it actually depresses quitting about like e-cigarettes do.
So then are you saying that e-cigarettes in conjunction, say, with something else like therapy could be an effective means of smoking cessation?
Well, they could be, sure, but we don't know. I mean, the fact is what we did in our paper was, and we were very careful, if you look at the title of the paper and you read it, we're looking at e-cigarettes as they actually exist and are actually used in the world. Now, does that mean that it wouldn't be possible to have an e-cigarette that would be effective? My guess is it probably could be done, because we already know that a nicotine inhaler, which is approved by the FDA for smoking cessation and available by prescription, is an effective smoking cessation device. So, you know, I think if the e-cigarette companies wanted to go out and do the proper studies that were needed and submit an application to the FDA for approval as for a smoking cessation device, then they ought to just do it. And my guess is if they did, the FDA, you know, if the study was reasonably done, would approve it, and they would probably mean it would only be available by prescription because they have very, very high abuse potential.
We're talking with Stanton Glantz, professor of medicine at UC San Francisco School of Medicine, and also Gregory Conley, president of the American Vaping Association and advocacy group for e-cigarettes. Gregory Conley, based on listening to Stanton Glantz, are you starting to get more convinced?
No.
Why not?
I remain convinced by the criticisms, the strong, incisive criticisms put out by people like the co-authors of the authoritative Cochrane Review, where you had Professor Peter Hayek, who's been working in tobacco control just as long, I believe, as Professor Glantz, the director of the Tobacco Dependence Research Unit of Queen Mary University of London, saying, this review is grossly misleading, in my opinion.
Well,
you have another...
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, you have another co-author of the Hayek Review, Hayden McRobbie, saying that there's too many flaws with the meta-analysis to even take it seriously, while also adding that, yes, Professor Glantz reviewed more studies because it is now a newer study, but his view of the evidence is that actually, as you include more recent studies, the success of vapor products when you're actually looking at its use by people who actually intend to quit or actually have an inkling of an idea to quit, and not just somebody who just so happens to have taken one puff in the past 30 days or even past 3 months or even in their lifetime, the idea of ascribing their failure to quit, they recognize that that is absurd.
Well, let's hear what our listeners think. Let's go to Christian in Dallas. Hi, Christian.
Hi, I am a previous 30-year smoker, and about 7 months ago, with several things, including e-cigarettes, was able to quit tobacco cigarettes. So I understand that there are some nuances to the study. My concern is that you would discourage people who can utilize e-cigarettes as a part of a smoking cessation program. My concern would be that you would discourage them from utilizing e-cigarettes, which, you know, I can't disagree exactly with the findings of the study, but in my personal experience, the e-cigarettes have been a critical component of my stopping, you know, tobacco.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Christian. And let's go to Tim in New Jersey. Hi, Tim.
Hi. My question was touched on briefly by one of your guests, but I want to know if the meta study done, whether it looked at the population of all e-cigarette users or those who are using e-cigarettes specifically to try to quit smoking. Because I think those two populations might be very different. And
Tim,
the results
thanks.
Might be very different.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well,
Satin Glantz.
That's a very reasonable issue, and it's mm-hmm. one we looked at in the paper. And what we found was that the effect of e-cigarettes, the relationship between e-cigarettes and quitting was essentially the same for both groups. So we did separately look at people who were actually trying to quit smoking and versus all comers, mm-hmm. and we got essentially the same results.
You got essentially the same results.
Yeah.
I mentioned that we had... who used e-cigarettes in the past and had stopped smoking? Was there some way to include them?
Well, no. I mean, that's one of the criticisms that the English people brought. And it's a stupid criticism, frankly, because, you know, when you do a study, any kind of intervention, you look at the people at the beginning of the study and then what happens at the end of the study. You don't go back, you know, and say, well, did you ever smoke and did you ever use e-cigarettes and have you quit? I mean, if you were going to do that, you'd have to look at all people who ever smoked. And in fact, none of the papers out there, including the papers written by the people who are criticizing us, and we included their work in our meta-analysis because we included everything we could find. They didn't even do that in their own studies. So, I mean, it's kind of a silly criticism.
Well, let's go to Brian in Modesto. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a physician, and one of the things that I remember back from my training a few years back was when we went over the medical literature, the best studies out there are the double-blind and randomized control studies, and drilled into us always was meta-analysis are among the worst type of studies. although they're kind of cool because they combine a lot of different studies, but they don't give the best data. And in this case, you combine 28-something different studies that may have had each of their own different protocols and procedures. It's just meta-analysis. You have to take them a bit with a grain of salt, and it really should lead to more questions and more studies. Mm-hmm. But trying to make a decision about vaping from this study, I don't think it's helpful.
Brian, thanks.
I teach statistics. I've written two books on the subject. And meta-analysis done properly is a well-accepted way of looking at what the overall literature says.
All right. Well, Ross writes, I fail to see the relevance of the discussion. Many people don't use e-cigarettes to try to quit smoking. So why would they lead to people stopping smoking? Seems like a chance to complain about e-cigarettes. I guess I don't understand the premise.
That's a great criticism, because when we have nicotine replacement therapy, the gum patch, the lozenge, we don't go do studies asking smokers, have you ever used this product or have you used it in the past 30 days? Because we have a lot of smokers who they'll just pick it up to use it on a plane.
But Gregory,
and then that's the only time of the month. So you don't ascribe somebody's failure to quit just based off of that.
But Gregory Conley, it has been promoted, though, as a means to help people quit smoking, the industry that you represent or advocate for.
Absolutely. And then we have 1.25 million former smokers in the UK using them. A CDC survey that came out about 3 months ago showed that nearly a full quarter of people who have quit smoking in the past year, that they're using vapor products. And so we are helping in the United States almost certainly more smokers quit right now than products like the gum patch or lozenge that have pharma approval.
A listener writes, it's nauseating to see and smell the exhaust of the so-called e-cigarette. Are we going to wait or rather act forcefully using the past as a guide to save our youth from this insidious drug? Stop this scourge now. How would we trust the tobacco industry after this? There are multiple lies in the past. Do you want to quickly respond to that, Gregory Conley? I mean, there are studies that are finding that e-cigarette use among young people is on the rise.
Yes, and there's also studies finding that smoking is rapidly declining and that teens are noting that they are many of them are not even using nicotine in their vapor products. And I would say if you're not willing to trust, certainly don't trust the tobacco industry. If you're not willing to trust the thousands of vapor companies with no connections to the tobacco industry, then I would urge you to listen and at least have an open mind to people who have no conflicts, like Cancer Research UK, the Royal College of Physicians. These aren't jokes. These aren't front groups. These are real medical groups. There's no reason to try to paint this just as black versus white anymore.
And let's go to more calls. Let's go to Colin in Santa Rosa quickly.
Hello. I just wanted to put a little light on the premise of the statistics that were offered. I know that there are six different phytochemicals in the tobacco plant, and there's one of them that's not carcinogenic or neurotoxic on a large scale. That's nicotine. Now, the other five are not included usually in most of the e-cigarette products. So I have a huge problem with the premise being simply about whether this has helped people quit or not. I think quitting tobacco is a huge step in the right direction for the 21st century.
Colin?
And in addition to that, I think that the business surrounding cessation products in the United States as a whole is a massive billion-dollar industry, and I'm not sure the premise that we should go ahead and trust what they're up to is a good one either.
Well, Colin, thanks for sharing that. Colin's question reminds me of wondering, as I was preparing for the show, whether the question of, you know, whether a puff on an e-cigarette is less dangerous than a puff on a conventional cigarette, whether that question is settled at this point.
Well, I think I don't think it's settled, but I think that I'm almost positive, and I think most people are, that a puff on an e-cigarette is less dangerous than a puff on a cigarette, because you don't get the combustion products, although some of the newer high delivery systems are getting so hot that it's approaching combustion. But that's a very different statement than they're being safe. And you
so
know,
then what's the most dangerous thing about e-cigarettes?
Well, I think the most dangerous thing about e-cigarettes is that they keep people smoking cigarettes. I think if you look at the aerosol itself, which is produced, the ultrafine particles can trigger inflammatory processes that are related to heart disease and non-cancer lung disease. I mean, my personal guess, and it's just a guess based on the evolving research, is that probably e-cigarettes are causing less cancer than a conventional cigarette does, but they're probably causing as much or almost as much heart and non-cancer lung disease because of the fine particles, because of the aldehydes, some of the heavy metals and some of the other things that are in e-cigarette aerosol. But the, you know, I think that if we could snap our fingers and turn all the smokers into e-cigarette users and have no effect on youth initiation and no effect on quitting, that would be better than what we have right now. But the problem is that's not what's happening. E-cigarettes, as they are currently being made, marketed, and used, are increasing nicotine addiction among kids. And while it's true, youth smoking is going down. I mean, we've looked at the data from California, but the trend in downward e-cigarette use after e-cigarettes were introduced is pretty much just falling on historical trends. And superimposed on that is a gigantic increase in e-cigarette use. And nicotine is really bad for the developing brain. I mean, the one thing that the caller said which is wrong is that nicotine is not a neurotoxin. Nicotine is a neurotoxin if you get it in high enough doses. And there have been deaths from people drinking e-cigarette liquid, and the reason for it are the neurotoxic effects of nicotine.
Well, Bill writes, it was probably a mistake to adopt the name e-cigarette. It tars them with the same reputation as cigarettes, despite the advantages, e.g. no secondhand smoke, no carcinogens. Liam writes, question for Mr. Stanton. How does your analysis explain the 1.1 million ex-smoking e-cig users in the U.K. and perhaps 9 million in the U.S.? We touched on this, if you just want to say anything else about it.
I've seen those numbers thrown around. I've never actually seen the evidence to support those claims.
Well, do you think that the government, that your study is robust enough that the government should actually start to take action against companies that claim e-cigarettes are effective for quitting smoking?
Yes. But I think they should have been doing that before because under the current law, making therapeutic claims, since claiming an e-cigarette is good for quitting, is a therapeutic claim, is something that can only be legally made if the FDA approves it. And no e-cigarette company has even submitted the paperwork to get clearance to do that.
So is that true, Gregory Connolly, that e-cigarette manufacturers have not submitted an application to the FDA to approve the devices as cessation devices?
That is correct, because the only companies that could only dream to possibly afford to go through that process would be either big tobacco companies, which in the UK you actually do have British American Tobacco has put an e-cigarette through the regulatory approvals process for pharmaceuticals. So you'd either be big tobacco making these products exclusively or big pharma, which I think many people that are on the anti-e-cigarette side would actually prefer. But we don't think that where you have the nicotine gum patch and lozenge in the real world, they fail 93% to 97% of smokers, and they're allowed to put on their label that it's effective somehow for helping smokers quit. I don't want e-cigarettes to be out on the market that fail 97% of smokers. I want the ones that we currently have that are creating across the world millions of ex-smokers and actually getting people interested and using a smoke-free product and possibly quitting.
Well, but you see, I can see is the what we found, and you know, the numbers came out the way the numbers came out. When you look at all of the available studies, on average, yeah, there are a couple that show e-cigarettes improve quitting. But when you put them all together and look at them all at once, the net effect is that they're significantly depressing quitting. Now, again, that doesn't mean that nobody has ever used an e-cigarette to quit successfully. I'm sure. I mean, I believe there are people like that. But if you look at the average person using an e-cigarette in the way that they're used, they're depressing quitting.
And you did this by adding studies that the Cochrane authors, the authoritative experts of Cochrane, never would have allowed to be used in their study methods. Their study methods are actually put out publicly before they run the analysis, and they allow comment. it's simply garbage in, garbage out.
Well, we've and this is ground, Gregory Conley, that we've covered earlier. I'd like to ask you, you know, we got Stanton Glantz's perspective on what he'd like people to take away from his study. What do you think people should take away from this study? What are you comfortable saying, right, that people should take away from this study as someone who is not a doctor?
Well, I think it's important to remember that there are always going to be competing beliefs and competing studies, but this is not the case, as I mentioned earlier, of white hats versus black hats. For many who have been doing this work for longer than I have been on this earth, they are very accustomed to the old days, where it was public health versus the tobacco industry, public health versus the purveyors of nicotine. That's not the case anymore. You have these great public health establishment groups, Cancer Research UK, Royal College of Physicians, anti-smoking groups that are saying the very same things that groups like the American Vaping Association are saying. So this is a new frontier in the war on smoking, and this is not the old years. This is new, and these products are helping smokers quit. So for crying out loud, if you're out there and you are still smoking, please do not be scared away from using these products, because they may be the key to getting you off of deadly combustible cigarettes.
Well, Stanton Glantz, last question for you from Chris. He asks, has Mr. Glantz ever received funding from makers of nicotine replacement therapy products? And if so, why wasn't this disclosed at the top of the show?
I've never taken a penny from any drug company. And just to respond to what Mr. Conley said, if the things he said were true, they would have shown up in the studies that we looked at. And when you put them all together, they quite consistently show, again, with a couple of exceptions, reduced quitting.
Well, Sandy writes, the physical addiction is played down so much, my 17-year-old is hooked, and it's a battle I gave up on. It's his body. Well, Stanton Glantz, professor of medicine in the Division of Cardiology, the Department of Medicine, and with UCSF School of Medicine, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to thank Gregory Conley, president of the American Vaping Association, an advocacy group for e-cigarettes. Thanks, Gregory Conley.
Thank you. Have a great day. And please go out and read the Cochrane Review if you're listening to this.
Well, my forum is produced by Irene Noguchi, Tina Lauerberg, and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with support from Adiza Egan and Natalie Yemenijan. Our interns are Eli Wolf and Ida Mojadad. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Joanne Wallace. Up next, we're talking with Garrison Keillor. I'm Mina Kim. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.